My text is found in Joshua chapter 3, verse 5. Joshua told the people, "Consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you." So reads the NIV. E.J. Hamlin wrote, "Sacred history may be described as an attempt to see the past in the present tense. What God did for his people of old, in principle, he does for us today." Gain love for history, and you see clearly what's happening today. From Goshen to Gilgal, chapter 4, verse 20, God's people set out 89 times over 40 years. Only 3 times in the book of Joshua, because, of course, they had arrived. The life of faith is a continual story of setting out. Similarly, as this story shows in Joshua chapter 3 and 4, the term cross or to cross is used 21 times. We set out and cross. We're on a journey. But the encouraging truth is that God's people did not journey alone, for God went with them. His presence was represented by the Ark of the Covenant. Now, what was the Ark of the Covenant? I suppose it was a box, something the size of this, a little bit bigger perhaps, and deeper. And it was covered in gold. And inside the box, there were two stone slates, as it were, with the Ten Commandments written on them. And then you had a flask of manna that fell daily from heaven, the manna, the bread of heaven. And then there was the rod of Aaron that budded. It was all in there. And then the lid was laid upon it, and of course it was covered with gold. And that was taken into a very large tent, and into a smaller tent where the tabernacle, and there it was laid between two angels, two cherubim. And it's like a throne. And it represented God present with his people in the tabernacle. So that's the picture here. Sometimes it looked like a throne in the tabernacle when God descended from heaven in his Shekinah glory, the presence of God in a golden cloud. That represented the presence of God amongst them. Joshua chapter 3, verse 4, they were to follow at a distance of 1,000 yards. And the people would follow the holy presence of God in this way. The terrain was far from easy. They were confronted by the River Jordan, which varied between 200 yards wide to some places a mile wide. It varied from 3 feet in depth to 12 feet. So it was quite an effort, really, to deal with this. But we would ask the question, where was God in all this journey? Do you ever ask the question on the journey that you were on? Where is God? I want to go with him, but where is he so that I can follow? Well, I have 4 B's for you tonight, showing the proximity or the positioning of God in the journey that you are on, if it's a life of faith. If you have begun to follow him, how do you follow him? Where God is as you walk through 2023. 3 B's then. First of all, God before you. Secondly, God beyond you. Thirdly, God beside you. And guess what? God behind you. And we could add to that, but in just dealing with four positions that we find God in our journey through life as Christians. First of all, then, we see God before them. Chapter 3, verse 5, Joshua told the people, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. This is the only way to journey the Christian life, in a consecrated manner, to allow God to set you apart, to be holy unto him. But you know what? It's an exciting life as well, because God does amazing things. This is what he's promised. Joshua speaks of the great things tomorrow. How should we travel then? Well, it is better for us to move as consecrated vessels. Let's move in a holy fashion. Joshua ordered the people to be undefiled and even forego legitimate privileges in preparation to follow God the following day, to live clean lives, to have him before us continually. Abstaining from legitimate privileges within our lives for the sake of getting our priorities right. God commands holy people to follow him, and they were to follow God. Verse 3, when you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, your God, and the priests who are Levites carrying it, you are to move out from your positions and follow it. Here is God before them, God before you. But we notice in verse 4, then you will know which way to go, since you have never been this way before. The Christian life of faith is exciting. God leads us in ways that are strange to us. Haven't been down this way before. But God in his grace excites our souls. The Christian life, in a sense, may seem boring to some people, church on Sunday. Where's the fun in that? My friends, we're meeting with God. Notice in verse 4, then you will know which way to go, since you have never been this way before. It's new. God leading you into new areas of life. Just keep your eyes front, will you? Because that's where he is. And don't get familiar. Verse 4, but keep a distance of about 1,000 yards between you and the ark. Do not go near. Only those carrying the ark were allowed that near. What lesson is taught here? No one must believe they can handle and manipulate God. We're rubbing shoulders together in familiarity. There's a reputable distance between us. Even our Savior, though men touched him and though there was a nearness, there was also a distance. No Christian should lose sight of the holiness of God, to know him, to adore him, to reach out to him. But don't get familiar and commonplace with him. I can handle God. I got God where I want him. A few years ago, I bought a record of men singing. And generally, the words were lovely. But there was a chorus of one of the hymns on that record. And it went like this. He's just a wonderful guy. But he's not a guy. He's not one of the boys. He's not your mate. He's not your buddy. He is the holy God. There's a holy distance that needs to be kept. Without being familiar, yes, know him and love him. Feel his presence very near, but there is a sense in which we don't try to handle him for our purposes, to manipulate the presence of God. He's God Almighty, the Holy God. Certainly he wants us to follow closely as he is before us, but bear this in mind, he is holy. The movement of the ark was synonymous with God rising and moving on and amongst them. At table, this is what we want to see, God moving amongst us. If God is not here, well, quite frankly, it's not worth coming. If he's not here, if he's not moving amongst us, we don't want to see God moving out, but moving among us. The Holy Spirit is leading the repentant sinner. He is leading his children. Perhaps you're not converted. Why did you come here tonight? Why did you come at other times? Was it, well, makes a change? Is it that? Or is it the leading of God? His hand being upon you. And he's telling you, follow me. Come to Calvary. Let's begin there. The amazing things began with the first step of faith. Try and imagine 2 million people on the riverbank watching the ark being carried into anything up to 3 to 12 foot of water. Here we are, here's the bank. And you're a married woman and you've got several children and you're worried. Children, come back, you're too near the edge. Stop, not another step, you'll drown, you can't swim. It's too risky, even foolhardy. And you mothers and parents have been like that with regards to their children when they begin to take the things of God seriously. Don't go in too deep. But notice the movement. The first step was taken. Chapter 3, verse 16. The water from upstream stopped flowing, so the people crossed over opposite Jericho. This was one small step for man, one great leap for God's people. Taking that first step, following him. Have you taken that first step yet? My friends, are you afraid of getting your feet wet? This year, 2023, God is waiting for your first faltering step of faith to follow him. It's an adventure. Where is God? We see God before them. My friends, I want to tell you this. God is before you tonight. You begin at the bank of life, as it were, at Calvary. That's where you begin as you come as a sinner to Jesus. We see God before them, but also, secondly, we see God beyond them. Chapter 3, verse 5, tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. In one sense, we do not see God beyond them. If he's beyond them, he can't be seen. The ark is in the river, but God was beyond them nevertheless. How can we say that God was beyond them? Well, see him in impossible conditions. Of all times to cross the River Jordan, this was the most hazardous, seemingly a harebrained scheme. It was harvest time. And we read in verse 15, now the Jordan is in flood all during harvest. You don't cross rivers when it's in flood. Guess what time the year was? Well, you've got it. It was harvest time, flood time. 2 million people, women, children, pensioners, flocks and herds. Joshua, a fine mess you've got us into this time for the first time. They seemed like a lot of lemmings. Now, as a fellowship in Tabor, we might appear to be heading towards impossible conditions. Yet, what is happening upriver? What's happening up there, out beyond us? see God 19 miles upstream approximately. He's beyond them. Verse 16, the water from upstream stopped flowing. It piled up in a heap a great distance away at a town called Adam in the vicinity of Zarephath, while the water flowing down to the sea of the Arabah was completely cut off. So the people crossed over opposite Jericho. What a stroke of luck. What a coincidence. The Israelites under Joshua's leadership must have had the luck of the Irish. A chance happening. Mother Nature busy again. What do you think? My friends, God was beyond us in his providential care and love for us. What God does upstream, out of sight from us, has a direct bearing of what's happening right here and now for us. It's called providence. God in his care and his power and his wisdom doing something beyond us to have a direct bearing upon what is happening now in our lives, in our conditions, in our experience. The Westminster Shorter Catechism defines the works of providence. What are God's works of providence? God's works of providence are his most holy, wise, and powerful, preserving and governing all his creatures and all their actions. No such thing as luck in your life when you're following this God. When your eyes are front, something's happening up the valley somewhere. Are you aware that God can be doing something beyond you in order to safeguard where you are now? Praise God for that. You don't have to be Irish to enjoy such a privilege. There is no such thing as luck for the Christian. You may be stuck on the bank in your walk with God for a while, but God can do something beyond you, ensuring a safe crossing. So God is before you, and we see God beyond you. Thank God for his omnipresence. He's not limited to one place at one time, or to one person at one time. He has all his people, all his blood-bought people in mind 24/7, from eternity to eternity. So we see God beyond them. But then thirdly, we see God besides them. Chapter 3, verse 5, tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. Oh, darling, I'm afraid of the water. I can't swim very much, very far. I'll drown. I'll be in too deep. Have you ever felt like that? In too deep. But here's B3. Chapter 3, verse 17. The priests who carried the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the middle of the Jordan while all Israel passed by until the whole nation had completed the crossing on dry ground. I'm of the opinion that the ark was positioned between the piled up water and the people passing by. And in that sense, God was beside them. God was found between the water and the people as they passed by. Can you learn anything from this? These little pictures? God was beside them as they passed by. Our Savior made a promise he would be at our side, besides us. He was leaving someone else or calling someone else to take his place very soon after he ascended into heaven. John 14 and verse 16, he says, I will ask the Father and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. He's going to give you somebody who is equal to me in essence and in eternity. He's coming, he's taking my place at your side. The Holy Spirit, the third person in the Godhead, is referred to as the Paraclete. Another term, a counselor. It can mean a legal advocate, but also a friend standing at your side. It's always good to have somebody at your side, wives and husbands. I'm at your side. But here is one who is God himself. He takes up the position at your side. It is God in the thick of things at your side. God said to Isaiah centuries later in Isaiah 43 verse 1 to 4. Beautiful passage of scripture, by the way. Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. Since you are precious and honored in my sight, and because I love you. That's the only place for somebody who loves you, at your side. Not a distant God. Love hates distance. And he comes alongside. God doesn't lead us into the deep water and then say, you're on your own now, mate. Sink or swim. No life jacket for you. Sorry and all that. He doesn't speak to us like that. He doesn't treat us like that. He is beside us in the depth of every situation we find ourselves in. And in spite of the initial fear we may have, such experiences are the most memorable in your Christian life. Perhaps, do you ever bore your grandchildren? Do you ever tell them about this, what happened then, at that time? And they... But there are times when we can't stop talking about the past. When God did amazing things for us. You'll never forget them. You make a memorial about that which is past again and again. We read in chapter 4, verse 5 to 7, each of you is to take a stone on his shoulder according to the number of the tribes of Israel to serve as a sign among you. In future, when your children ask you, what do these stones mean? Tell them that the flow of the Jordan was cut off. These stones are to be a memorial to the people of Israel forever. Have you got any of those monuments? Have you got things that you'll never want to forget? That you'll want to teach your children and grandchildren? Certain things that stick out that are truly amazing. Dale Ralph Davis wrote, the greatest enemy of the faithful may be forgetfulness. Sometimes we have church anniversaries. Some are better than others. But those anniversaries are there to remind us of the goodness of God in the past, the amazing things God has done. David wrote in Psalm 103 and verse 2, praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. I wonder how many stones of remembrance are built since you have been saved. Can you take your family back and say, you know why that's there? Because God did something glorious, amazing, in the life of your mother and myself, or me as a young boy, or me as an old man. Where was God when we needed him? Well, we see God beside them. Finally, then, we see God beyond them. We see God behind them, I beg your pardon. Chapter 3, verse 5, tomorrow, the Lord will do amazing things among you. God was before them, God was beyond them, God was beside them. Finally, God was first in and last out. Chapter 4, verse 11, the ark of the Lord and the priests came to the other side while the people watched. The people didn't worry what was following them. God guarded their rear. They'd all crossed the river, and now God and the Ark of the Covenant was coming behind them. God was behind them. God took up the rear. It's a cliche, isn't it, in the military films, that man had my back. God has your back. He's also behind us. If you remember the story of Pharaoh's army chasing after Moses and the children of Israel through the Red Sea, before they could catch up with them, God closed the waters and all who pursued Israel were drowned. God took up the rear. You might think it's a cruel story, but those that pursued the Lord's people had no thought of kindness and mercy. They were out for blood. Here they were dealt with. Have you ever been afraid that your past life and your past sins will catch you up and destroy you? Has Satan ever come along and tempted you? What about this, Owen? Remember that? I knew all about it then. I know all about it now. And I've just got this on you. That's the way the accuser of the brethren attacks us. But we are to overcome him with the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. It's over. God has taken care of my past. My past, present, and future sin were dealt with at Calvary. They'll never catch me up. They'll never turn me into a prisoner. Jesus said in Revelation 22 and verse 13, I am the Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. The eternal and everlasting God is the first in and the last out of every river we cross, in every journey we make. Lynn, I don't know if you got sheep on your father's farm. At least two servants are right behind the flock. One's called Mercy, and the other is called Goodness. They're not in front, because the shepherd's in the front. But Goodness and Mercy are bringing up the rear. That shepherd said, Goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Goodness and mercy follows us. Are you aware of that? Sin is not going to catch you up. What God stopped, he started. Chapter 4 and verse 18. No sooner had they set out their feet on dry ground from the waters of the Jordan, returned to their place and ran in flood as before. This is the flip side of the amazing miracle that day. God's timing is immaculate. Where is God in your life? Have you taken the road to Calvary, to life in Christ? Have you begun there yet? He's before you in the gospel this evening. If you haven't, you're still lost in sin. Only the blood-bought sinner can possibly know where God is in his life. The Christian knows. Child of God, where is God in your life? God is before you. God is beyond you. God is beside you. God is behind you. Are you living in the light of his proximity to you? Do you know God as your Savior, your Lord, your Heavenly Father? Come to know him in 2023. Come to him now, that he might save you from your sin, and that you might walk with God.